right, everybody, welcome to Doug's History Lesson number 2 on the Animal Batista. I am your professor for this lesson, Doug Hummer. I, of course, the students in my classroom today are my brother with the pulled groin, Daniel.
What?
Hey, how you doing, man? All right. Also, Eric is here.
Hello.
Oh, God. And Stevie is here.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. And my mother wants everybody to know that she's in the room, too.
Hi.
All right. Anyway. All right, so basically, here's how it works. The subject of the history lesson today is the animal Batista. And basically, the students ask the questions, the teacher answers them, for the most part. So, basically, a little bit of a, background on Batista. Wasn't necessarily a wrestling fan growing up. Grew up in Washington, D.C., in a rough neighborhood. Basically, just kind of looked at wrestling as a way to earn money. Got into wrestling late. Actually became a huge star. Now also, making pretty good waves in Hollywood.
Fell in love with wrestling, too, by the way. Let's not forget that. It's not like a Goldberg or Lex Luger. He does love the business.
Yeah. I mean, he enjoys it, and he only wants, like, when they ask him to come back, I mean, he basically wants to make sure he's just like, he comes back for the right reasons, for the right program.
Yeah.
So, all right. Dan, he is actually one of your favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
Mine too.
So, Daniel, we'll start with you with the first question.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Batista is probably one of my favorite wrestlers. He was my favorite as a kid, that's for sure.
I remember.
Still a huge fan of him. I was kind of going back, binging the 2005 Raws, where he really kind of shined again.
Yeah, back in your vacation time.
Yeah. So I've been getting acquainted with him again, and it's kind of funny because a lot of the questions, am I asking you more information stuff or opinion stuff or either or?
Information or opinion. I mean, it could be either or.
Well, the first thing I'll probably ask you then, do you think that Deacon Batista was a necessary start for his career to do something to pay his dues?
It's
working under Devon.
It's called humble Jesus Christ. It's called humble beginnings. And you have to start with something that sucks in order for something that works to come along. And the whole Deacon Batista thing, I mean, he looked like, first of all, there's not a lot of deacons in the church that look like that. Or at least in the church that we went to, there wasn't anybody that looked like that. If they did, they burst into flames as soon as they walked through the door. But it's called humble beginnings, and he had to start somewhere. And a lot of the guys do.
Yeah. I mean, he was paying his dues.
Yeah. I mean, and they had him on quite the role. I mean, he was working against, Randy Orton. He was teaming with Batista, so he got to work with, like, Rikishi and Mark Henry and Val.
You mean he was teaming with Devon? Right?
Yeah.
You said Batista.
Oh. Yeah, Batista was teaming with Batista. All right, Eric.
Yep. Who was Batista trained by before he went to WWE?
Afa.
Okay.
He was trained by the Samoans.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So he was a student of theirs. He actually had long hair at the time.
Oh, wow.
I think it was both.
I know he talks about them in very high regard.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
No. Go ahead, Eric.
What age did he start? After high school or something?
No. He got into it late. I believe he was in his 30s when he started training.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was a late start for him because, again, he wasn't necessarily into wrestling when he was a kid. But, you know, he looked at it as, okay, you know, I could get into this. So, all
right,
Steve, you're up.
Yeah, didn't Batista, like, start off his career in a promotion that was ran by Alpha? What was the name of that?
It was WXW, World Extreme Wrestling.
Okay, because I thought it was Samoan Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, no. And also, too, like, he tried out going back at the question Eric was asking earlier. He did try out at the WCW Power Plant in 1999, but he was told he would never make it into the wrestling business by Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker.
Yeah, I remember that from his DVD because I remember him talking a lot of shit about him, just how he's a little guy and how is he supposed to know, which is funny because Sergeant Buddy Lee is the guy who helped Bill Goldberg break out.
Right.
Yeah, he told Batista he'd never make it.
Yeah, and look where he went to. But, yeah, no, he trained and competed in World Extreme Wrestling. He made his debut – Go ahead, Ert, Stevie.
He was basically feeded the wrong information. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He made his debut in WXW on October 30th, 1999. Daniel.
Do you think that the jump to SmackDown was necessary for him? Or do you think that he could have been the guy on Raw like how Cena was? Because his push was really good. It was a big deal. Do you think he gave SmackDown credibility or
when he went over in 05?
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, this is around the time where like the draft like really meant something.
Yeah.
So with Cena going over to Raw, you couldn't really have like both Cena and Batista as world champions on the same brand. So, yeah, I think he gave – I mean, SmackDown already had its fair share of credibility. But in my opinion, I think they got even more credibility by having him on there because he was at the height of his popularity at that time. So, all right, Eric.
What's his relationship with WWE now? Is it still good?
Yeah, it's still good. I mean, he's always going to be friends with, like, Triple H and Ric Flair. I mean, he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I meant like, more with, like, Vince.
I mean, as far as I know, they're still good. I mean, and here's the thing. He didn't really leave on bad terms. He left because he had to promote Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay, so that answers one of my questions.
I mean, he was going to be gone by SummerSlam of 2014 anyway, because he was supposed to lose to Punk and Steve.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then Punk left and then everything changed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Stevie, you're up.
I got a good question.
Okay.
What do you think was the one of the greatest feuds that got Batista over in WWE?
Oh shit, that's a good one. The feud that got him over?
Yeah. It could be any feud, but
I mean the feud that kind of started him into like, okay, this guy's a major player is when he was working with Kane in late 2002. And that kind of built him as a credible star. But I think the feud that really got him over was probably when they looked at him more as more than just the Evolution flunky, was probably, you know, him kind of feuding with Jericho in 2004.
Okay. He had a great feud with Triple H.
Well, the way I took your question is, like, what got him over in WWE, like, before he was, like, over? So,
okay.
I think he started to get over back when he was working with, like, Kane and Jericho.
All right.
Now, what really pushed him over was obviously the stuff with Triple H.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, what really started him on that fast track was the stuff with, like, you know, Kane in 2002. He had a brief thing with Shawn Michaels in 2003. And then, the stuff with Jericho. But what really pushed him over the edge was Triple H.
Yeah.
What made people, I mean, they were already taking him seriously, but what kept him there, what kept him in on that other, you know, side of the road, so to speak, was the stuff he was doing with Hunter. All right, Dama.
Let's talk a little shit. What is his worst feud to date?
His worst feud. Oh. Fuck. Mark Henry. They were supposed to have a feud in at the beginning of 2006, it was supposed to be Batista working with Mark at the Royal Rumble.
Mark hurt him, right?
Yeah. And it didn't work out. And then they were finally going to have, like, Batista was coming back to get his revenge. And then Mark Henry tore his knee. He tore his knee on the Saturday night's main event in the six-man. He tore it because Rey Mysterio kicked him. And it tore his knee right off the bone.
Most snake bit.
Another feud he had that I was not a fan of was, even though, or, well, that I was not necessarily a fan of was his stuff with Booker.
I was going to say that's one of his most underrated feuds.
I wasn't necessarily a fan of it. I did enjoy their Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
Booker kicking out of the Batista, or not kicking out of it, but putting a foot on the rope and then Batista having to win by cheating, by hitting him with the world title.
Yeah.
So.
I like that feud a lot, actually.
I mean, I enjoyed the Survivor Series match.
You just don't like Booker T or Batista.
Right, that's right. That's why it was easy for me to pick that one out. All right, Eric.
Let's see. Was he? Oh, you know, you already answered that. Why did he leave the first time?
It was based. What, you got the answer?
Yeah, I can tell you why.
Okay.
It was Doug's history lesson, but I'd say. Well, the reason he gave, he did not like the direction the business was going towards. Mainly saying all the flippity-fly Young Bucks stuff, all the, you know, the small guys and stuff. He's not a fan of that. The pro wrestling he likes is one guy versus another, you know, kind of, he's kind of old school. Even though he did grow up loving the business, he does have that old school mindset from hanging out with Ric Flair and Triple H.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was a lot of that. And a lot around the time he wanted to get into MMA, he signed a deal with Strikeforce. Didn't really do much.
That's right, yeah.
He did try. He did. He had a couple matches with Strikeforce, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I mean, and also too, I do think he did, even back then, he had aspirations of making it in Hollywood. He did that shitty Scorpion King movie around that time, actually. Yeah, but also the movie that he did, I mean, obviously Rob Van Dam was the star of this movie, but the movie Wrong Side of Town,
yeah,
which actually, for a shitty movie, is actually a really good shitty movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think I saw it.
You did see it?
I think so.
All right. Excuse me for a couple of minutes. I have to go over and bitch slap my mom's husband. It's a running
joke. Okay.
Don't worry, nobody ever subscribes to the Patreon anyway. What are you bitching about? It's more of an insult to Kenny than you. All right, what's the next question? Whose turn is it? Stevie, get us out of this, will you?
Which brand do you think Batista was more better in?
SmackDown. I mean,
did you ever...
Like, even though SmackDown was a taped show at the time, I do think he excelled there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Undertaker and Edge.
Binging the Raws, I loved his stuff coming out with Triple H, and that whole feud was booked to perfection. So his stuff at Raw was awesome, but to me, he just totally elevated SmackDown, especially during SmackDown's kind of dark period there, because 2005 to 2008 really isn't known as SmackDown's best time period. But Batista made it believable. His stuff, even with Booker T, and, you know, his stuff with Undertaker, especially, obviously. You know,
even the stuff with JBL was good.
Yeah, he really rose SmackDown. Eddie, you know, his stuff with, you know, him teaming with Ray. He brought a new level to SmackDown, so I agree with that.
All right. Well, you're up.
Most underrated feud.
Most underrated?
Because I have a pick, too.
I'd have to say either the feud with JBL or the feud with Finlay. I mean, and unfortunately, the feud with Finlay wasn't really given the proper pay-per-view payoff, but...
Yeah.
Anyway. But I still think it was underrated because both guys... I mean, Batista proved he could work at that time. But also, he could work Finlay style, which was, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And that's actually the kind of style of wrestling that I like, is this style of, okay, hit me as hard as you want to because I'm going to hit you 10 times harder. Can you imagine if Batista would have worked with Haku?
Holy shit. Batista never really hurt guys. Well, except for Cena.
Yeah, but that was accident. And that was accidental.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, Stevie.
Could you imagine if he worked with the Barbarian?
Oh, God. That would
imagine how that match would go.
Because here's the thing. Haku and Barbarian, they're basically the same guy, except for different builds. Because Barbarian's skinnier. But also, too, they both know how to lay in the shots. And Batista could lay them in, too. But Batista also had more of a... Batista was the most gentle, rough guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there was. Because Batista also knew how to be safe. Batista also knew how big he was and how easy it would be for him to kill somebody.
Yeah.
So Batista was always careful. And personally, I don't like Batista that much, but yet I'm actually, you know, giving him his props here.
Hope so.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, go ahead.
Let's see. Did he have any beef with anybody in the back?
Booker.
During their program.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, during their program, they actually got into a fight shooting a SummerSlam commercial.
And from what I've heard...
What led to that?
The match at SummerSlam sucked.
Was that why they fought? Because I thought it was like an Eagle thing.
No, well, this was before. Because then they had the fight during the SummerSlam commercial. Then they had the match at SummerSlam, which blew.
Yeah.
They had trouble getting along. I mean, unfortunately, it happens.
What I heard, Booker beat his ass too, right? From what I heard, Booker kind of
is a tough guy.
Yeah, a few shots.
Yeah. Other than that, I think he got along with.
I know he had heat with AJ Styles for a long time.
And they were
heat with HBK.
Locker room.
What,
Eric?
Do you have heat with Michaels?
No, because he was close with Hunter, just like Sean was.
Okay.
Yeah. Stevie, you're up.
I got another one. Which greatest rival do you think Batista had a great match with?
So I think his greatest matches were probably with The Undertaker. Okay. I think the greatest match that they actually had with one another had to have been, obviously, WrestleMania 23, one of the best ever. I personally liked a match that they had with one another, even though it's a shitty gimmick. I thought the chairs match they had at TLC 09 was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought it was too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Did you say that's the best match, though? Over the WrestleMania match? Over the Survivor Series match?
Well, the Survivor Series match was tainted because Ed got involved. Yeah. I mean, I think Cyber Sunday 07, they had a good one, too, where Batista bombed Undertaker through the table and Austin counted the pin.
Yeah.
So I would actually probably put that in as their best match.
Yeah.
Because it really put Batista over. All right, Daniel, go ahead.
I was hoping you'd touch on this at Most Underrated, but talk about his work with Edge, because I really enjoyed their feud and the chicken shit heel always kind of getting one over on the big tough guy that looks like he should beat Edge every time they fight.
He should have whooped Edge's ass every time. But it's always because, Edge always surrounded himself with the right people.
I love their dynamic, though, so get into that.
They had a really good dynamic. They had really good chemistry.
Yeah.
What, Eric?
No, I was saying they had good chemistry.
Yeah, they had really good chemistry, which, he only had... God, we've already crossed a line.
I know what you were going to say.
That, don't worry about it, Eric. Just trust me. For once. But, the thing is that they had really good chemistry, and the matches actually, even though it was in a bad time period for wrestling, which was, that summer of 07, and then even, when they worked together in the summer of 08 for a little bit, the matches they had were still, it may not have been a good time period, but the matches still delivered. But so, and then, like, I'll never forget, what was it? Was it still called Vengeance at that time, or did they start calling it Night of Champions in 08?
I think it was Vengeance, Night of Champions, wasn't it?
In 08?
Yeah.
When they had that, and, you know, he got so pissed off, he actually press slammed Vicky Guerrero over his head.
Fabulous.
And then
oh, wow.
They all just kind of like stepped back and nobody tried to catch her. And then smacked him in the face with the title. Go ahead, Eric.
What?
You were saying something?
I said poor Vicky.
Oh, poor Vicky. all right, Eric, you got another one?
What was his best match with Edge?
Probably that Vengeance Night of Champions one from
08. Oh.
I mean, that's the one I enjoyed the most. All right, Steve.
I have another question.
Okay.
Why did they break up Batista and Rey Mysterio as a tag team?
Because they wanted to try something different with him being a heel.
But do you prefer Batista as a heel or a face, though?
I actually liked him better as a heel.
I agree.
Because... Yeah. Being the fact that, you know, again, I'm not necessarily a fan of Batista, so I would rather boo him than cheer him. Well, and I think part of his charm is that he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
But and as a babyface, you only really cheer for him because he's cool.
Yeah.
You know? Batista was cool when he broke off from Triple H. You know, he's got the tattoos. He looks like a big, tough guy you want to hang out with.
And you like the theme song.
You love the
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you cheer for him because he's cool. But as a bad guy, to me, that's when he really spreads his wings because you see more character out of him. He's a good promo as a bad guy. His stuff with John Cena is severely underrated.
Yeah.
Because and him demanding the spotlight in the ring and stuff, great heel work.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it sucks.
Oh boy.
Did you get a pillow? All right. No, like that. So yeah, the whole thing with the whole thing with Batista Mysterio. Because we can hear you sawing wood on air.
I can't hear anything.
All right. Anyway, this is live radio football. By the time you get to it, it's pre-recorded. But that's why like they broke him up. It's just basically just to try something new with Batista, or not something new, but something that hadn't been done in 7 years.
All right.
Which being a dick.
He had Cena and stuff, and Orton was transitioning babyface, so it was time.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right, you got another one, Dan?
Yeah. Let's, who do you think should be his first rivalry if he went to AEW?
Lance Archer.
I want to answer this, too.
Ooh. And I think Lance Archer because I think the styles first of all, I do think Archer could bump for him. And I do think he could bump for Archer. And I just think it would be another one of those rough matches. All right, Eric, you said you wanted to answer this too. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eddie Kingston.
That could work too.
Or Cody's too. Cody too.
Yeah. Oh, well, any of them could work. Or could work out.
You can't
well
forget D. You can't still got forget Mott.
Just take the jacket off of her head. Jesus Christ. But yeah, no, Eric, I understand what you're saying. And I mean, they're all...
Yeah, I mean...
Huh? Who was that?
What?
Oh.
My turn?
Yeah.
Was he supposed to have a feud with Eddie before he died?
Well, they were kind of in the middle of a feud, and then they started teaming, and then Eddie died. Eddie was supposed to win the world title. Like, they had advertised
okay.
it to be Eddie versus Batista versus Orton. Eddie was supposed to win the title.
Okay.
And
that, yeah.
that didn't happen.
So, yeah.
And I'm
yeah,
assuming
I got a question.
He was going to continue. That's one of the reasons, though, why I think they brought Mark Henry back is because the feud with Eddie was actually supposed to last a while.
Was that supposed to last until 2007? Into 2007? Or was it 2006?
Sometime in 2006, because I think... I'm not 100% sure, but the plan may have been that it was going to be Eddie and Ray at WrestleMania.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
I might just be making that up, but who knows?
Yeah, because Ray won that. Ray won that Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was actually supposed to win the Rumble, but
oh. Well. That's interesting. We'll get into that some other day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, Stevie, you're up.
I got a question. Batista says his WWE comeback was bad right off the bat. Do you know why he would have said that? Or?
Because it was. And the reason why it was is because I don't think the fans were really receptive of him coming back. And what I mean by that is I don't think they really cared.
Okay.
I want to counter that.
Huh?
I want to counter to what you just said.
Okay.
I don't think it's that they didn't care. I think it's more to do with... Daniel Bryan and if CM Punk was there. I think it was more towards that than they didn't care. If Daniel Bryan wasn't in the picture, maybe they would have cared.
Well, because I think that, well, the fans had a good idea of what they were going to do with Batista.
Okay. That's true, too. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't think in 2014, I don't think anybody wanted to see Batista as WWE champion.
I don't remember if I hated it. I think I did.
Well, it also, that
you
was
remember
when
if
he
I did?
Was, well, I can't remember. I don't even think you and I were, I think you and I had just, you know, started talking or whatever at that point. I mean, as far as I can remember, we didn't start dating yet. But no, like it, so I can't really remember that far back.
What were you gonna say, Daniel?
I even said on the show that he even said he didn't like the comeback because he didn't want to win the Rumble. He didn't want to do the whole program. He thought that that was a bad idea.
Right, because the fans were going to be towards it.
Yeah, he kind of saw the reception.
Because didn't he say that? Because he did a DVD for him, like, right after, right? Like, right after he came back. And he brought that up in the DVD, didn't he?
What?
That what we were just talking about.
Didn't the DVD come out before that? Before he came back?
No, because they did a DVD release for his comeback.
One, right?
Yeah.
I have the first one.
Yeah. Because I think he even talked about it on that DVD.
Yeah, he wasn't.
How his return sucked.
Well, he just wasn't a huge fan of it. He thought he should have came back as a bad guy to begin with.
Right. Well, you come back as you come back how you left.
He did get a huge pop though when he first. That Raw was crazy.
Yeah. Because then he came out and he beat the crap out of Alberto.
Yeah.
Which then cheer that.
That was weird.
Wasn't that in Washington too? D.C.? Yes.
Was it in D.C.?
It might have been. It was either in D.C. or New York or something.
All right, Dan, I believe it is your turn.
Since he's older, there's a very real possibility, especially with him training in the power plant, that he could have been a WCW kid. How do you think he would have fared in WCW if he would have broke out maybe 2000, beginning of 2001? And do you think he could have helped save the company?
In the beginning of 2001? I mean, in 2000, 2001, I think he probably would have been doing jobs. He probably would have been doing jobs. I don't think it really would have helped him. I mean, he probably would have ended up in TNA because a lot of those guys that were in the power plant and still training in like 2000, 2001, a lot of them ended up going to TNA. So
this has made a perfect segue to my question.
All right. Well, since you're up next, go ahead.
Well, how do you think he would have done in TNA / Impact Wrestling?
I think it depends on the time. Are we talking like 2002, 2003?
Yeah. Beginning
of TNA. In those early days, you know, I could see him feuding with
being the tag team, I could see.
I could see him working with Abyss.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, that would have been
fun. I mean, it could have worked out. I mean, I think it worked out where he went.
Yeah. I could have seen him work with Bobby Roode.
That could have been good, too.
Or even tag team with him.
Right. All right, Stevie, you're up.
I got a question. If Batista was in WCW around the year of 97 or 98, how do you think he would have done?
Well, being is the fact that he was 97, 98, he would have been like 29, 28, 29. Which is, around the time where a lot of guys were, starting to get in the business anyway, or like guys would have already been in the business like 5-6 years, 97, 98 in WCW, he probably would have gotten over because he would have been one of those guys that like, they probably would have tried to put him in the NWO. He would have been in the NWO, or they would have found a spot for him in the Flock.
Do you think he could have gotten over with Hogan or Sting or Bret Hart? Or
I would actually like to, would have liked. I would have liked to have seen him work with like Hogan or a Sting or a Bret Hart.
That Hall.
Scott Hall would have worked, Kevin Nash even.
Lex Luger.
Goldberg
would have been good. I think another an underrated opponent that he could have worked with would have been Perry Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That could have been fun. Or like a Rick Steiner.
Yeah. Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Thinking of somebody, but I forgot his name. Shit.
Again, he could have been around that time, Minger the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Benoit. And he worked with Benoit. And did he work with Benoit before? Did he ever work with Benoit in WWE?
Yeah. Worked with him many times.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right, Dan, it's your turn.
Do you think Batista could come back as a manager?
No, he's too big.
Or could he be a manager slash heavy? Harley Race was big.
I mean, if he could, well, he could come back as like a bodyguard, I think.
Could he be both? Well, Arn Anderson's big.
Arn Anderson's fat.
Big.
Batista's too muscular, I think, to be a manager.
Yeah.
Eric?
We talked about this earlier in the theater show. Do you think he would have worked out in the Four Horsemen?
And like, if he were around during the days of the Horsemen?
In the 80s.
No, because the 80s Horsemen were more about technical wrestlers.
Okay.
Like, you saw...
He could have been like a Lex.
He could have been like a Lex, but like... Lex was better as a... as an adversary to the Horsemen.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do a deep dive on the Horsemen.
I know. All right, Stevie?
Who tried to talk Batista out of leaving WWE in 2010, do you know?
Maybe Hunter?
I don't know.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I don't think that he tried to talk him out of it, but I know he had a couple conversations with Brock Lesnar.
In 2010?
Oh, that's a feud I would love to see.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're both... They're friends, actually. They don't talk about it a lot, but those two get along.
And that's a feud. That's a dream match. I would love.
And that's when Batista wanted to get into MMA, too, so that's why he contacted Brock Lesnar.
Right. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
This is why I beg you to be on this show.
All right. Oh, by the way, it's your turn.
What do you think Batista's favorite brand of Lunchables?
Get back to your game and your naked woman on the TV.
What did you say?
Don't worry about it. The chicken dance.
Okay.
I heard it.
I'm good.
All right, Eric, go ahead.
How do you think he would have fared in the Attitude Era?
Would he have
fit in more in the Attitude Era than the Ruthless Aggression?
No, Ruthless Aggression, I think he was great. In the Attitude Era, I don't know what they would have had him do. They probably would have tried to put him
Stone
in
Cold.
That for all.
Yeah, Stone Cold and Rock he could have worked with. That would have been nice.
I would have loved to have seen him do one-on-one matches with The Rock.
He's been in a match with The Rock before.
Yeah, but I'd like to see him do a one-on-one match with him. All right, Stevie.
What did you think of Batista versus Shawn Michaels in 2008?
Hey, well, Dan, I know you're excited about this because you wanted to get into this one, right?
Yeah.
Or you wanted me to get into
it? Yeah, I did too.
I thought the first match they had at that Backlash was awesome. The match Jericho refereed? Yeah. I actually did enjoy the stretcher match too, but I also thought Batista was taking the whole Ric Flair retirement way too personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really like this feud.
I loved it. I thought the two matches they did were awesome.
Well, you gotta think it was
matches.
It was more of a prelude to the Jericho feud for Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
That's what it meant. The Batista, I thought it was awesome because it gave you shades of that heel character before they actually did it.
Right, because like when he did the thing, like, I don't love you and I'm not sorry. You know, it's kind of playing off what Michaels did to Flair at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, Batista, quit acting like a dick.
Yeah.
He asked for, Flair asked for the match. Flair asked for. So just shut up. Quit being a big baby.
I thought it was a good story, though. It would have been better if he was a full-blown heel, but I do enjoy
as a
it.
Full, if he would have been a full-blown heel, the story would have been better, but I did actually enjoy the two matches.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And then so different styles, too.
Yeah. With Sean faking him so he could kick Batista in the face.
And that's what caused the whole Jericho thing, right?
Yeah.
Jericho felt like an idiot.
Yeah. When he found out that he faked the injury.
Yeah.
Daniel, you got another one?
Yeah. Who wrestled Batista's first ever on-air match?
In WWE?
Yeah.
They went against, I believe it was when they went against Randy and Valboski. Because he teamed with Devon. And, Batista hit this wicked-ass spinebuster on Orton. And it was just like, well, first of all, when he came out in his ring attire, or no, it wasn't the Valboski and Orton. It was Ron Simmons and Randy Orton. Well, Farouk at the time. But, yeah, no, it was when he came out in his ring attire, Taz and Michael Cole were just like, holy crap, look at this guy. All right, Eric, you got another one?
Yeah. Is Batista married or have any kids?
He does. I don't think he's married now. I know he was married to a woman named Angie for the longest time. He actually got divorced in 2019.
Okay.
But he's been married 3 times.
Ah, okay.
Can we please talk about the occupation of his third wife? You know it?
Okay.
I recognize
what
the
is
name.
It?
Sarah Jade?
Yeah.
Professional pole dancer, Sarah Jade.
Yeah, that's how I recognize
her.
That was the last that he got, that they divorced in 2019. But yeah, he was married to a professional pole dancer.
Well.
Good for him.
She teaches classes and stuff.
That's how I recognize the name.
Well, you went to the class?
Going through a rough patch.
he's a fire station ever again.
He's got kids. He's actually got a couple of grandkids.
Oh wow, he's a grandfather.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Well, his daughter got knocked up.
Yeah,
in
he knew that. So we can call him Papa. Never mind.
Anyway, Stevie, you got another one?
Not really. But I do got one I like to ask.
All right, go ahead.
Do you think if given the offer, would Batista ever go to AEW?
We kind of touched that. Well, we touched on who he would work with in AEW or who we would like to see him work with first. if given the opportunity, I could see him going. If, like, he got the permission from Hunter. Because I would see him
Hunter would,
permission first.
Do you think Triple H, I mean, do you think he would ever give him permission or probably not?
I don't think he would, no.
I do have a follow-up. I'm sorry.
Because I could have never seen him go to AEW, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be kind of hard because he's always been a WWE guy. Like, the guys that worked on TNT or on the TNT network for WCW, like, that's easier to see. Like, I could probably see Flair going to AEW before I could see Batista going.
Right.
He's so loyal to Hunter, I just don't think it'll ever happen. He's one of Triple H's guys. You know, one of the core group. The core group really, I guess Paul and Nash, but the core group are pretty loyal to Hunter. Right. Well, Hunter is more Scott and Kevin's boys, and Scott and Kevin are Hunter's boys.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think they're all pretty close.
Well, what I mean by that is that, like, because Batista came in the business after Hunter did.
Yeah.
Hunter came into the company after Scott and Kevin did.
I agree, I agree.
That's the way I'm
talking. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Dan, it's your turn. Because we're going to do one more go-around, then we're going to close up, and I'm going to give the poll options for the next history lesson.
Okay. So this is my last question?
Yeah.
Okay. Batista's a great actor. He's kind of shown, right?
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of these generation of kids just know him for Guardians of the Galaxy. Drax the Destroyer. Huge comic book fan. I love him in that movie. He does the character justice. Also, he's going to be in Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, the Netflix zombie heist movie. I can't wait for that. Batista's got a starring role in that movie. As a guy who obviously clearly has some acting chops, he's done very well for himself.
Yeah.
Also as a guy who loves wrestling, and when we're in the era of the cinematic match, choose one guy. It can be current, it can be a legend, anybody on earth that could have a – what would your dream cinematic match against Batista be? And in what kind of format? Book a cinematic match with Batista and one other person. And do you think it would be good?
I'd like to see Batista go cinematic with and this one's actually going to be kind of weird. But I'd actually like to see Batista go cinematic with Otis. And, like, kind of, like, them, like, battling at, like, a hotel truck stop.
That'd be cool.
Because, like, here's the thing. Otis is a blue-collar guy, you know, make a good truck driver and all that. Batista's, like, one of those rough-and-tumble guys you would see at, like, one of those hotel bars. Like a bouncer.
Yeah.
So I could see the two of them, like, battling, like, in the back of a moving truck.
I can see that.
Doing like that King of the Road match, but like actually succeeding at it. And then like them like jumping from battling from the back of the truck and then jumping onto a moving car and battling that and just like going like battling like on the road. And like it actually be like an actual street fight, so to speak. Because it's happening in the middle of the street.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be like one of those action movie sequences where, like, they're fighting, like, all over the place. They're fighting in the middle of moving traffic. You know, it's a big, like, chase scene. To me, that would be cool because it would be like an action movie. So... All right, Eric, your last question.
I don't really have any. I forgot my last one.
All right, Stevie, do you have one more?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Okay. So basically, all right, so to end the history lesson here, we can all agree that Batista in the Ruthless Aggression era, Batista was one of the main, like, stars of the
movie. I remember now.
All right, well, go ahead now. Go ahead, Aaron.
Could Batista do what Cena did, carry the company? I know he was kind of the 1B, or how you kind of the 1B of the Ruthless Aggression. But could he have carried the company on his back?
If he had to, yes.
I agree.
I think if there was no John Cena, they still would have made it through. Yeah, they would have.
I believe.
With Batista. I think they would have.
Yeah. I think he would have been the guy.
Right, yeah.
John Cena.
I mean, I think
him
so,
and
yeah.
Randy.
They still would have. They still would have been okay if Cena weren't there. So, all right. Now, getting to my mind. Eric, this is why you can't have a job as a stagehand for a late night talk show host. interrupting a burnout. Eric would be the one bringing him his coffee, his newspaper, and a cigarette. While the guy's in the middle of talking about the latest current news. And they would air it on television. And they would air it actually on television instead of yelling cut. Anyway, I think we can all agree that Batista was one of the mainstays of the Ruthless Aggression era, and was one of the reasons why the Ruthless Aggression era was actually fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I agree with that.
I agree.
And
I completely agree with that. He's helping me through most of the Raws.
Yeah.
Some of them are kind of rough.
Yep.
So, Batista, even though he might not be a great person, so to speak, he was a hell of a talent on television. And the stuff he was able to do with Triple H and Edge and Undertaker and Orton and Cena, Edge. Did I say Undertaker yet?
Yeah.
Or JBL. Like, it worked. And Jericho, it worked. And it was super fun to watch. So, all right. So for the next history lesson, which I'm sure in a few weeks. Not sure when yet, but I have 6 poll options picked out. So we're going to do a poll of 6. And basically, the theme will be guys that got over, that were over huge in other territories, but did not have the success they had in other territories, if any success at all, in the WWE or in WWE. Okay. Poll option number 1 is a guy that's a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, main event of the Starrcade with Ric Flair, but the best he can do in WWF was a submission match with Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, wow.
The first poll option is Rugged Ronnie Garvin, the man with hands of stone.
Boy.
Huh.
Okay. That is your first poll option. Your second poll option is a man that actually didn't even work in the WWE or WWF, but is in the WWE Hall of Fame, and is one of the reasons why superstar Billy Graham actually wanted to be removed from the WWE Hall of Fame. also a former partner of Cactus Jack in WCW. Pole option number two is Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Pole option number three is a man who was extremely over in Texas in World Class Championship Wrestling, was also over in Mid-South, and in obviously in the Global Wrestling Federation as well. A former boyfriend of Missy Hyatt and a longtime tag team partner of a friend of ours, Rod Price. Pole option number three is with John Tatum. Okay. Pole option number four of the man that we talked about him a lot earlier on in the episode we did for, well, not a lot, but we brought him up a bit or quite a bit in the episode we did with Dusty and Flair. He was basically one of Dusty's main partners in the feud against the Horsemen. And unfortunately, never made it to the WWF because his career was kind of cut short. But we're going to do him anyway. We're going to put him on the poll anyway because he did have quite the career. Poll option number four, Magnum T.A. All right. Poll option number five. And this is already a loaded poll to begin with.
There's five of them?
We're going to do six options. Okay. Just because, you know, with me, it's either go big or go home.
Okay.
All right. Poll option number six. Actually, somebody that was over huge in Mid-South, or poll option number five, I mean, not six. Over huge in Mid-South, got to the WWF, was called himself the Natural, was managed by Slick, but could never get past, could never get to that level that he was at in Mid-South. Poll option number five. You could either call him Hacksaw or you could call him the Natural, Butch Reed. And last but not least, they tried to get him over in the WWF. He was huge in Mid-South in the UWF. Had a pretty good career early on in Mid-Atlantic or, you know, / JCP, tried to get him over in the WWF, but they tried to make him the form of a bird. Poll option number six, Harry Taylor. The Red Rooster.
Red Rooster.
Your six poll options for the next history lesson. Rugged Ronnie Garvin, Abdullah the Butcher, Hollywood John Tatum, Magnum T.A., Hacksaw Butch Reed, Harry Taylor.
Nice.
Okay. So it'll be six. Start doing your research, guys. Well, I'll try to see if I can get other people from, like, maybe the old school group, or Eric, you might want to try. Because you'll obviously put this poll up in other groups, right?
As soon as you put the old school, I'll copy and do it.
Yeah.
Put in 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah. And we'll see if, like, maybe the 70s, 80s, and 90s guys would actually, like, and I'll see if I can get anybody from the old school group, too, that might actually want to be, like, in the classroom when we do the history lesson.
Yeah. That would be a good idea.
But no, those are your six options. Each one will be, you guys will definitely learn something, I'm sure. Because these are six guys that, like, They're very underrated, and if they would have had bigger careers in the WWF, they would have gone. They would have, you know, become even bigger stars than they were in the territory days. But all right, this has been Doug's history lesson about Batista. In a few weeks, we'll come back with the next history lesson. It's either going to be Ronnie Garvin, Abdullah the Butcher, Hollywood John Tatum, Magnum TA, Hacksaw Butch Reed, or Terry Taylor. Oh, I can't wait to see which one.
It is going to be fun.
Yes, definitely. All right, thank you to tonight's students, Daniel, Stevie, and Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Professor. Bill Hummer.
No problem. All right, and we will see everybody Friday night for the next episode of the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast when we do Fantasy Warfare. And Eric and I will see everybody Tuesday night when we bring you NFL Hard Hits. This has been Doug's History Lab. Everybody have a good night.
Adios.